how are you doing this fine Friday? Pretty good? Having fun? You got big plans for the weekend? You gonna go skiing or something like that if you're in a place with snow? Or I guess the only place with snow is the fucking Northeast right now for the most part, and not that many mountains up there unless you want to go to Appalachian country, where all those crazy, like, West Virginians live that only make moonshine and bang each other. That's my understanding. I learned all of that from The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, that series on Netflix from a while back, where I think it was on Netflix. If you haven't seen that series, it's basically about this family called the Whites. Go fucking figure, right? And it's a big group of white trash, horrible rednecks who pretty much terrorize this town with their antics and by having too many kids and just petty crime all the time. It's like if you've ever seen the show Shameless on, I think it's Showtime or Epix, something like that. One of those HBO-style shows where nothing is censored. If you've ever seen Shameless with William H. Macy, it's just like a piece of shit family in South Chicago who are constantly just scheming and conniving ways to make money. They're like the real life shameless people. They have no shame. The grandma at one point is like sitting in the living room with her giant clan of inbred mongoloids, just looking around at each other, and the documentary crew ostensibly is there to try and track what they're doing and see what's going on with them, and the only one who's sober enough to even, like, talk is this elderly fucking grandma. Her daughter, who has, like, 7 of her own kids, is there, like, high on opium or meth or something like that, and everybody's teeth are weird. They've got, like, one full mouth of teeth between them, the whole goddamn family. And they just go around, vandalize things, cause a ruckus, a bunch of no-good-nicks, some tomfoolery here and there, horseplay, and they're just awful people. Why am I talking about this? Anyway, check that series out if you haven't seen it. So thanks for coming back for another episode. If you're not a patron, you should be, because the end of the month is coming up, which means that in the next week or so, the new premium episode for all the $5 and up patrons is coming out, and the new Skype chat for all the 20 and up patrons should be coming around the next week or two. So that's really exciting, huh? Real exciting. In other news, I still haven't fucking seen The Revenant or Hateful Eight. I just haven't had time, or I've had time that I've, like, you know, kind of segmented off that I could go, but Melissa's just been so tired with her new job, getting going with that she just has been coming home from work and just been exhausted. And I know how that is, starting a new job where you start it and you're, like, hopeless at first, where it's like, you start the job and you're like, oh my god, like, I'm never gonna figure all this shit out. How am I supposed to work all these programs? How am I supposed to figure out all these policies and how to handle X, Y, and Z? And for the first, like, month or two of a new job like that, it just sucks dick, and you, like, almost convince yourself every night before bed, like, oh, I'm never gonna figure this shit out. It's so fucking horrible. I can't deal with that person anymore. Jesus Christ. And then eventually, before you even know it, it's not even, like, one day you walk in and you're like, I get it now. I could do this. This is easy shit. And you do it with, like, half your brain turned off. It's just one day you kind of look back and realize, like, what? When did I figure this out? Like, I've been doing this with half a brain for the last 6 months, not even thinking about what I'm doing because it became so second nature. When did I figure it out? So really, that's the phase she's in right now, I think, of starting a new job. So it's naturally difficult. There's a lot of shit to catch up on. But before she knows it, she'll have it all squared away, all down pat, and be pretty happy with it, I think. Hopefully. So, haven't seen either of those movies. Really fucking disappointing. I was really dreading seeing The Revenant for a while because Woody said that he hated it, but then Kyle saw it, and he said that he really loved it. And so now I don't know what to think. According to Rotten Tomatoes, which is usually a pretty good indication, it should be a fairly decent movie. I think it's in, like, the mid-80s, something like that. That's pretty solid. Really, you're going to talk about Rotten Tomato ratings, Taylor? Wow, that's really revolutionary. You're really fucking breaking barriers down right here. Wow, everyone listening to this should tell all their friends and family. Look at this revolutionary guy talking about what movies he's going to see and what their rating on Rotten Tomato is, just guesstimating. Jesus Christ. So, anywho, we talked briefly on PKA about the Amy Schumer thing, and I wanted to rehash it here because I feel like I got my two cents in, but I didn't get to fully explore it. So, for those of you who don't follow the whole, not because anybody, just to backtrack, not because anybody's stomping over me or interrupting me or anything like that, just because the nature of a show with multiple people on it is not every topic is going to be a home run for everyone. Not everybody's going to be interested in everything. And so it's, you kind of have to play it by ear. If you can tell that something is kind of waning in interest to everybody else and only maintaining interest to you, you gotta just let it go. You know, you have to let it go. If it's meant to be, it'll come back to you. And it has right now, as I'm going to talk about it. So Amy Schumer has been, accused, and not even accused at this point, proven to have pilfered some puns and I guess stolen some jokes from people, one of which is the most obvious form of it that you can't even make an excuse, is the Patrice O'Neill shit, where she made the jokes, all those like sex acts that Patrice O'Neill was describing word for word, and she pretty much describes them years later word for word. She knew Patrice, they were friends, I think, at least acquaintances. They were on ONA together, they had done shit together, and so as far as I can tell, there's no excuse there. It's not like, oh my god, like, I had no idea he did this material. It's like, of course she did. First of all, even if you didn't see him do that live, he died like 4 years ago, and I guarantee most comedians have gone back and watched a lot of his shit since then, since all of them seem to have a huge amount of respect for him and what he did. So I simply don't buy that she didn't know about Patrice doing those bits, and even weirder is that she didn't even steal funny bits, you know? Like, those weren't funny Patrice O'Neill bits, in my opinion. They don't make me laugh. They didn't make me laugh when Patrice did them, and they didn't make me laugh, especially, when Amy Schumer did them, because it's just not that funny of a bit. Patrice was a great comedian, but that was just a shit section of his comedy. It wasn't funny. Not at all. Why not steal good jokes, you know? It's like breaking in to a food court, and instead of going to the Panda Express or the Chick-fil-A and stealing all their food at night, you go to that gross-ass, like, Charlie's Subs place or Sbarro. God forbid you go into somewhere, like a food court, and break in to steal food for your hungry family, and you go to fucking Sbarro and show back up with those nasty-ass, floppy, weak, New York-style pizza, which is bullshit. I've never had a, quote, New York-style pizza that I thought was excellent in any way. At all. It's greasy. There's usually, when you're having pizza, if there's pepperoni on it or some sort of cured meat and you cook it and whatnot, there's going to be some grease on there, some standing pools of grease that you got to dab out. I've never seen any type of pizza other than New York style that it can be 100% a cheese pizza, no toppings, and still have standing pools of lukewarm, disgusting grease that, you know, some guy with dark hair in the back was making. Probably some of his nasty, unwashed, greasy hair fell into the dough and got mushed in there. It's just gross. I don't like it. I don't like the whole, like, regional pizza battles, but if there were regional pizza battles where people are like, oh, Chicago style, that's what you want. I'm talking in a New York accent, talking about Chicago style. Like, that's, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. That's not even how people from New York talk. That completely made that up. I'm a fucking idiot. Chicago-style pizza, first of all, isn't even fucking pizza, it's lasagna, and that's not an old hacky bit that I've heard from tons of people. It's just an argument, and it's a fact. It's an argument you can't rebut. It's not poking fun at Chicago-style pizza, because Chicago-style pizza can be very, very tasty. It's just, it's not pizza, it's lasagna. Regardless, who fucking cares about this? Why are you talking about this, Taylor? Jesus, you need to get Melissa back on here so someone can give you some structure and keep you going. Anyway, the Amy Schumer shit. She stole the Patrice bits flagrantly. Anyone who can't tell that is... And here's the funny thing, is that all of the defenses from comedians for Amy Schumer, it's like all the defenses I've heard is she doesn't have time to steal, or just, she wouldn't do that. I can't believe she would do that. Like, I understand if that's your friend, but that's not really an argument. Saying, I can't believe that person would do that. That's like saying, Bill Cosby, did you hear he raped, like, 50 people, purportedly? Like, he's been accused of rape by 50 people. That's like just me saying, like, well, you know, he wouldn't do that. He didn't have time to do that. He was too busy with his projects. He was busy professionally his whole career. He had no time to be raping and pillaging people's livelihoods and their psychological thought processes for the rest of their lives, just tormenting them with rape and drugging them. Like, he didn't have time for all that. There's no way. He was too busy making material. And I simply can't believe that Bill Cosby would do that. I mean, look at how good he was to Theo in that episode where Theo passes out drunk at a party and is violated by the members of the football team. And he has to convince his son Theo that just because it happened to you doesn't mean you're gay. If you were awake and enjoying it, it would mean you were gay. Now go sit on that pillow, Theo, and listen to me. You know, I'll make you some pudding, help you feel better. What am I talking about? That was a great episode, though. Check that out. So the only defenses of her are that, or it's like you almost have to assert that her comedy is shitty as a form of defense, you know, where it's like, oh, she didn't have time to go and copy these, you know, mediocre bits. She was too busy for that. The reality is that she's just naturally so mediocre and subpar that she just came up with these parallel thinking, you know, two shit ideas, like ships passing in the night. So that's a little funny to me, is that the only defense you kind of have to defend her in a way, you have to tacitly agree that she is kind of a shit comedian who's going for the lowest common denominator. And this is like a new thing, because she's so newly famous, which is one part that I do empathize with her, where it's like, I think it was in a Jim Norton interview that she was explaining, or talking about rather, how she's so newly famous, which is... it's true, like, she exploded in popularity and fame, and with that, it has to be really hard, you know, to go from a relatively small comedian to just suddenly, you're in a blockbuster, you're a huge movie star, people know your name, you're a household name. That has to be weird for it to accelerate that quickly from zero to, you know, feminist hero that they're pushing, which also, I'm not entirely convinced that all of her newfound beliefs and playing the victim card and saying shit like, oh, you know, you only come after me because I'm a woman, or you only come after me because I'm just getting popular. I'm not even convinced that that's her personality still. Because if you go listen to old shit of her on ONA when she was just hanging out with the guys, shooting the shit, ripping on each other, like, she was the furthest thing from PC. Like, not at all. She was tearing people down. She was very clever and funny in those old clips. So it's weird to think that this is the same person now. It makes me think that there has to be, like, a handler in the background, like a PR person saying, like, well, you can't do that. Like, oh, you've been caught stealing jokes. We don't have any recourse. Shit. Thank God you're a woman. You can fall back on the sex card and just continue to play that people are sexist until this eventually goes away. Thank God that you're not Carlos Mencia or someone that people felt fine with, unloading on with both barrels. Like when Joe Rogan was ripping on Mencia. If you guys have heard of comedians who are coming out against her other than those original three women, I think it was either two or three women who said, yeah, you kind of stole my shit. I know them, like Kathleen Madigan and some other lady. I cannot remember her name for the life of me. Has any other big comedian come out and said, like, this is bullshit, you are stealing jokes? Anyone? Because all it took for previous comedians in this is just to be accused of it, and people immediately are looking for reasons to discount you, you know? It's like being accused of rape in the comedian community. It's being accused of stealing a joke, because immediately there will be a ton of people who are saying, you know, like, oh, no, you didn't do it, you didn't, I just can't believe that person would be a rapist. And there's a bunch of people saying, like, oh, my God, I don't even need to see the evidence, I can see rape in their eyes. It must be shitty, and a lot of it, like, I watched all the fucking videos of it, and so much of it is good evidence that her writers or whatever were ripping off other bits that were on YouTube or Mad TV or whatever, and that she was ripping off stand-up comedy from Patrice. But then there were a couple other clips where it was such a stretch that it almost... It aggravates me that it's like, all right, whatever fucking guy is so obsessed with this that he was making these montage videos in the first place of her... apparently stealing content, why wouldn't you just make a shorter video with all of the egregious examples? Why dilute your own message and the video by taking more shitty examples where it really could have been parallel thinking? Like that, which one was it? I'm split on the sex magician one, because that is something that, like, I've heard friends just in joking around conversation, make jokes, but like, oh yeah, and then you're like pulling a bunch of napkins out of her vagina or whatever, like when the magicians have the colored, you know, handkerchiefs tied together. Like, it's not that original anyway. So either it's plagiarized or it's just kind of hacky, you know? So there's really no good defense for her as far as what she did. But I really hope she finds a way to break out of this, you know, like, female role model mold. I feel like they're trying to cram her into, because I really don't think that's the real Amy Schumer. I think the real Amy Schumer is the one that I heard years ago on O&A, shooting the shit, just like one of the guys, being dirty and being genuinely funny, you know? So hopefully she gets back to that eventually. Who knows? She's so famous now that you can't really regress back to that kind of material, you know? Like, she would lose, it'd just be an uproar. So that does suck for her, you know? I do empathize with that. Do you, Taylor? Are you just going to repeat yourself fucking 10 times, you idiot? Anyway, I've been following the NHL All-Star Game thing closer than any other story on right now. Not even, I've probably followed it literally 50 times closer than anything to do with politics, this entire political run with all the Bernie Sanders, all the Trump, all that shit. I like to, you know, come out in favor of Trump because I think that's funny, because I don't know why. I don't know. It just gives me a little giggle. But yeah, this whole John Scott All-Star Game thing for the NHL is fucking hilarious. And he also really blasted the NHL in an article on, like, God damn it, Player Tribune, is that it? I don't know. Fucking Google it and you'll see it. First result on Google, guaranteed. John Scott article, and it'll pop up. And he was just basically unveiling how the NHL, who basically through their own fault, if you don't want the chance of shitty players who don't belong at the All-Star game, I like John Scott, but let's be honest, he's not that great of a hockey player, not very good. If you don't want that risk of jokes getting voted into the All-Star game, then you shouldn't let fucking fans vote. You made your own bed. Now it's time to sleep in it. You know, it's you gave them the freedom to pick someone, and now you're finagling around, forcing teams basically to trade him and put him in the minors so he's not eligible. It's fucking shitty. Like, he has to feel bad enough already, knowing that the only reason he's there is because people think it's funny how not skilled he is. You know, I looked up just to see a montage of his best plays in the NHL. And so I looked up John Scott highlights or John Scott whatever. And every single, I clicked on one and I thought it was going to be all of his fights, because that's the only fucking thing that he does of real value in the NHL is make his teammates feel safe and fight people, because he's 6'8" and gigantic. And the highlight video I clicked on was like a 2-minute video, and it had, I think, every one of his career goals in it. Like, some of them played multiple times, because he has like 5 goals in his whole career and in hundreds and hundreds of games played, 5 goals. And the goals weren't even like that good. There was one good one where he shot at high glove from the slot, and it was a pretty good shot. But even that, like, you could tell from his reaction, it wasn't like when Tarasenko or Sidney Crosby or Pavel Datsyuk or one of those guys scores a goal and they kind of skate around like, woohoo, like, good job for me. He like looked almost like when a kid at the fair throws one of those rings and it actually goes around the bottle. You know what I mean? Pardon me, that was disgusting. But you know what I mean? When you're given those rings at the fair, and there's a bunch of glass Coke bottles, like, spaced pretty far away from each other, like 10 feet away, and you have to throw the fucking ring, and it never goes around the glass bottles because it bounces too hard anytime it hits the glass, and you always miss. But his face was like if a child actually got one of those on. Like, he turns around, looks at his parents with big eyes of like, I did it! Is this real? Did this happen? Is this really happening? Like, it was the look of someone who doesn't do that often. Or hardly ever. Borderline never. And so, I don't know where I was going with any of this fucking shit, but I was watching that. He clearly, as far as skill goes, he doesn't belong in the All-Star game, but it's funny to see him there. Obviously, the fans want it, so the NHL, fuck you. Put him in the All-Star game. Let him play. He already sold out all of the t-shirts for John Scott All-Star game on the NHL website, so clearly you're making some fucking money from it, which is even worse, because it's like, it's that bullshit where, like, the NFL wouldn't, like, they find, what the fuck is the name of that Seahawks running back? I have no idea. I'm such an idiot. This is gonna come to me as soon as I stop recording this fucking podcast. Marshawn Lynch. It's like when Marshawn Lynch did like that crotch grab a couple years ago, and the NFL fined him for it. But then the NFL started selling shit with like the picture of him grabbing his crotch on it and making money from it. So I don't like that. I don't like that when players get punished for dumb shit and then the company promoting it makes money from it. Where it's like, why is it okay for you to do this and profit off of something that you are publicly scolding? I don't know. Is that interesting? Is that fun? Is that a fun fact? It's not even a fun fact. It was just like 3 minutes of going into the weeds and down rabbit holes for no apparent purpose. Anywho. Yeah, but the All-Star Game should be fun. I'm excited for it. It's this Sunday. If you're not a hockey fan, the All-Star Game is probably not a great way to get into it because it's so goofy and not taken seriously, and so many good players do their damnedest to get out of it every year. Like, Ovechkin and Taves already got out of it because they're probably going to fucking, like, I don't know, the British Virgin Islands or something on vacation, and they don't want to spend their All-Star week, their break, futzing around in Nashville for stupid little non-points just for the NHL to make money off of it. Because I don't think they get paid to go there. But anywho, it should be fun. If you are on the fence about hockey, watch the All-Star Game. It's fun. Don't think of it as a representation, but it's also a good way to see the best of the best players out there. And maybe if you haven't picked a team, maybe you're from fucking London, you know, and you like really hockey a lot, and you're like, oh, cheerio, I can't decide on what team I'd like to root for, tup tup. And so you watch it, and then you see Vladimir Tarasenko tearing it up, and you're like, hey, who's that guy? I'm gonna watch whatever team he's on, the Blues. Or you find somebody else and you watch that team. So if you're trying to pick a team to get into, definitely watch the All-Star Game if you're from the UK, you know? You know? Anywho, so I saw some article online that I read. I can't emphasize the brevity that I spent on this webpage. I just quickly glanced over it, mostly just the title and a couple pictures, because I like to absorb my news the way seven-year-olds with picture books absorb stories, you know? That's the level, that's how shallow I want to be, you know, just that visceral reaction. Also, it's easier, you don't have to put in as much work, you know, remember that. That's like Cliff Notes. It's like being informed with Cliff Notes. No means no. There's a seminar in Finland that they're having I saw migrants there, but I really think that just means immigrants who are probably from Syria or Northern Africa or wherever the hell. Obviously, there's been a problem with rape over there of the native Swedes or Finns or whoever. A lot of those women, or I guess a disproportional amount, being raped by immigrants, migrants. And so they're having like a mandatory, like, no means no kind of like when you get your license suspended or something, if you get like 6 speeding tickets in a row and you just let them go, and then you have to go take a class where it's like 8 hours of some dude standing there like, and what should we not be doing? Speeding. What should we do? Not speed. And it's like, okay, this isn't going to impact anyone here unless they're like one speeding ticket away from, you know, a $10,000 fine in jail or something like that. Like, it's not going to change. It's ingrained in everyone that you're going to speed, because everybody speeds, you know? So I guess it's not that great of an example, because most people aren't rapists. But it's that kind of class, you know? And if they think that a class where... If you have to teach people that raping and just tormenting someone physically and psychologically like that is not okay, and that you should take no as a no during acts like that, and that you shouldn't continue despite them, they're protesting, it's already too late for them. I'm sorry. It's beyond, they're gone. Sucks. Sorry. There is no redeeming a person like that. If you have to tell someone, because as much as like you'll see on Twitter and shit of like, you know, teach men not to rape, it's like not even hardcore feminists really believe that given, left to their own devices, men are just going to go out there and rape. They don't. They couldn't believe that, because if they could, literally every one of them would be holed up in their homes for fear that the next trip to the Whole Foods for them to get that goofy fruit that only exists there for like $10 a pound, they would be raped on the way there. Or that, you know, if they got up to go to the bathroom at fucking Outback Steakhouse, there'd be some villain waiting right outside the restroom to force them back in and rape them. Like, if there was really a belief that around every corner was some rapist, No women would leave the house. But women do leave the house because it's not a real threat, and it's understood that it's not a real threat. It's sensationalized because most people in our country know that you shouldn't be going around raping people or just beating people up for no reason and tormenting them, which is why most people don't do that. If it's such a problem that you have to have classes for this group of people that are coming in, then it's already too late. They're not going to figure it out. Either they are beyond saving, and there's no point in these classes, and you're just going to have to tell the women of your country, hey, you know that thing we did where we let a lot of people in? I'm really sorry about that, but how about you just don't go out at night in your own country anymore? You know, that seems fair to me in the name of progress and diversity. Or what the fuck was I going to say? I had an or. I said a first, and I have to have a second. First thing was that the women can't go out in their own homes. Oh, the second thing is that if it's really not that big of a problem and migrants or immigrants or whatever aren't raping Finnish or Swedish women disproportionately suddenly and now that they've been let into the country, then it's really just an insult to most of those immigrants, you know? Like, if it's not all of the, if it's not a high percentage enough of them, then really what you're doing is just filling a classroom with a bunch of them who weren't going to rape in the first place, and now you're, like, patronizing them, being like, oh, now I'm going to teach all of these, you know, backward savages not to rape, you know? Oh, well, good for me. Like, there's no winning in this scenario. Either you come off as a patronizing bigot talking down to them, or it's just an admission that you let a bunch of people into your country who can't control themselves and are going to terrorize the native women of that country. And that's just, it's a shit situation. But, you know, maybe that seminar will work. Maybe it'll work. Just like all those times that they bring, like serial killers in, and they say, hey, you quit your killing there, and they go, I don't think so. And they go, oh, you, and you wag your finger at them. I don't know, that wasn't even referenced to anything. I expected that to go somewhere for me. I start sentences a lot, with no idea where it's going to go. And usually it just takes care of itself as I'm talking, but sometimes it just trails right off into nothingness. Just like what's happening right now. You see? Real time learning. You're seeing my process right now. Hopefully Amy Schumer's not watching. She won't rip me off, you know? Anywho. And before I get to the questions, I had one more thing I wanted to see. And this is another story from Sweden. I don't know why I got the only couple that popped out at me were from Sweden and Finland. Maybe because I guess there's a lot of tumultuous shit going on in that area of the world right now because of this immigrant fiasco. And I at first I was way more on the side of it where it's like, no, don't let them in. That's not fair to the people who live there. You're going to destroy the economy. They're gonna you know, destroy the country. Everything's going to be ruined if you let a million people into Germany and all that. And I'm still not 100% in favor of letting all those people in, but I'm way less against it than I was, say, like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. It's just, I don't know, it's so complicated. I want to be able to take a hard stance on it, but I'm not even that comfortable with it anymore, you know? Like, I don't think that it's going to work well, but there's no good solution. Like, there's no good way to just, you can't just leave them and say, fuck you, stay in Syria, you know? Like, there's, really, some of those fucking Middle Eastern countries that are right around them should let someone in. They're not letting anyone in. They're to blame partially for a lot of that shit going on. How about they take a few hundred thousand people, you know? At Saudi Arabia, they can build, like, a weird, just fill one of their goofy middle-of-the-desert indoor water parks with, like, 60,000 immigrants, you know? It'll be fun. For them, at least. Probably not for the Saudis. Because I've met people from the Middle East and from Saudi Arabia, and apparently a lot of other people from the Middle East have a lot of resentment towards Saudis. I'm not sure if that's correct. If there's anyone in this audience listening right now who's from Saudi Arabia, is that true? If it is, explain why. Because I've obviously never been to that section of the world. But is there a lot of animosity towards Saudi Arabian people from other Middle Eastern people? I don't know. Maybe it would make sense because there's so many rich people in Saudi Arabia or like the United Arab Emirates or whatever compared to like Afghanistan or fucking Iraq or wherever. Or maybe I'm just completely misunderstanding too. And I'm looking at it the way people in, like, the old world looked at the United States, where they would just see pictures of, like, John D. Rockefeller and be like, wow, oh, the land of opportunity. That guy walked over there and they just slapped him with a big check for $1 billion, and now he's just living the dream. Like, maybe I'm just seeing the princes with, like, 6 Bugattis and then ascribing those traits to everyone who lives there. But it is my understanding that it's a much more wealthy country all around. I mean, people have lots of money to save. They only need 1 car per family. Women can't drive, right? car insurance, you know, that's the big savings over there. Also, women's fashion, you know, not much household money being wasted on trinkets and rings and diamonds and whatnot, unless they're really decked out under those pool covers that they're wearing constantly. I don't know. Maybe how sad would that be if they get all dressed up, the women over there, and they look just gorgeous, and then right before they leave, the husband's like, put your cover on. You know, Abdul, I'm looking so good today. Come on, maybe just this once I can go out. You know, people can look at me and be like, "Damn, she's hot." Oh, no. You're gonna put your pool cover on, or I'm gonna hit the back of your hand with a reed from the Nile River multiple times. I don't know why I said the Nile. Maybe because that's what I associate with the Middle East. Who knows? What the fuck am I talking about? You're going off the rails. Anywho, the other story about Finland I was talking about, or about to talk about, from Stockholm rather, not Finland. Stockholm, Sweden. We are over in Sweden. Sometimes we have good hockey players make the NHL most of the time, but we don't, though. I guess Alexander Steen, he's a Swede. He plays on the Blues. I don't know what other Swedes we have on our team. I think Detroit has a lot of Swedish players on their team. So if you're from Sweden, you're probably a Detroit fan, unless that's changed in the last couple of years. Who fucking knows? But this, there's a video of this. I'll link it below, unless I forget. And it's a video of this lady who is walking down these stairs at a metro, so like an underground train, and there's a guy coming up, and there's a guy, the guy coming up the stairs, so they're about to pass each other, starts to slink really close to a lady, an older lady, who's walking very slowly in front of him. So basically, to get a picture, there's a woman with 2 children on the right side of the stairs going down. On the left side of the stairs, near the top, there is an elderly woman who has stopped to fiddle around with her bag. Oh, my arthritis medicine, where is it? I can't find any of my things. Oh, my hands, they hurt so much. And then there's this guy with a hat on at the bottom of the stairs, kind of hustling at first, and then he slows down right as he's about to run into the back of the old lady. And he tries to pickpocket the old lady, but the younger woman sees him and kind of points at him and pushes him away a little bit, kind of like, hey, I see you trying to fucking steal from that old lady. Like, stop it. Fuck you. And there's 2 kids right next to her. And this dude turns around, hits her, and then, like, walks up out of the frame and then walks back into the frame as the mom is kind of stunned with her 2 kids. Like, holy shit, did I just get hit by that guy? And then he walks by her back down the stairs and spits in her face and then just, like, jogs it off. Like, it was really weird. I mean, on the plus side, the old lady didn't get stolen from, and the younger lady, the mom, actually stood up for that older lady, and she didn't actually get hurt, because it could have been, standing that high on the stairs, like, just a slightly harder hit in the right place, or even that exact same hit, which wasn't that hard, in the jaw or something, could have knocked that fucking lady out, and she could have tumbled down the stairs and died. Like, that's not a joke. That you can really fuck yourself up passing out and just falling down the stairs like that. Whoa, wow, really? Can you, Taylor? Well, I'm gonna be really careful not to pass out and fall down the stairs. Really, really good advice. I'm gonna sew that into a pillow, throw it on my fucking couch, you idiot. Yeah, so don't fall falling down concrete stairs willy-nilly, kids. So, really, I like videos like that. I like the videos most when the piece of shit gets his comeuppance. You know, where there's some asshole who's, like, at a bar way too drunk, and he's just going around pushing people and shoving and antagonizing, and then eventually some other dude comes up and is like, this isn't fucking cool, and beats the shit out of him, and everybody rejoices and is like, finally, we can enjoy our evening again without this asshole going around bumping into people needlessly. I like those videos the most, as I'm sure most people do. I like these videos too, though, because this is, like, the reminder of what can happen. Even in a mild level, you know? Like, it's a reminder that when you get into an altercation with a random stranger, there's no guarantee that it's not going to go really bad for you. just because you're saying, like, hey, don't pickpocket that lady. Like, fuck you, man. Like, that. Just if that's all you're doing, you never know these people. You don't know them well enough to just call them out without backup, especially if you have fucking kids with you. You should not be getting involved with this shit. So I like the dose of realism alongside the huge dose of justice porn that you get on the internet of, you know, bullies getting beat down, which is way more satisfying to watch. But you can't fall into that trap of thinking that reality is the way that your mom or dad described to you in third grade, where you were like, oh, Tony keeps hitting me when I'm in school. What do I do? And it's like, what you need to do, son, is you just go right up to Tony and you punch him in the face. I don't know why my dad is suddenly John Madden. You know, you punch him in the face, he's going to fall down. You know, that's the end of the story. The thing about punching is you want to hit him with your fist. I don't know. That was horrible. That was horrible, Taylor. Jesus. I don't know why that evolved, but it's a good reminder of, like, that whole advice as a kid of, you know, just go up and punch him in the face. That wasn't always good advice. I've heard, like, friends of mine even say that their parents had instructed them to do that as some sort of weird tough guy routine, and that they would tell their own kids that, given the opportunity. And it can work. It can work. I'm not going to deny that. But chances are, it's not going to work 100% of the time, and a good percentage of you are going to get the shit kicked out of you because it turns out Tony has a mean right hook for a third grader or some shit like that. And there's a reason that he feels so comfortable picking on everyone because he knows that he's on track to hit puberty early and drop out early as well from high school, probably get involved in drugs, maybe prostitution. Who knows? Who knows? Not a bright future for Tony. what the fuck was I talking about with that? Oh, yeah. So just don't get... Don't fall into that mentality, I guess, of, you know, I'm going to be the hero. That same mentality that, like, super pro-gun people have, where they just fantasize about, you know, a shooting happening somewhere, and they're the one who slowly draws their six-shooter back, says some clever line, and then blows some dude's brains all over the side of the fucking Starbucks wall, where all this altercation went down. Like, it's that same kind of fantasy, but with beating people up. And it's good to remember that, just like those gun scenarios, that you shouldn't be fucking around pulling guns out willy-nilly, that when you see shit going down in public, always assume the worst is going to happen to you. Don't just jump in like an idiot, especially not if you have children, children with you, which is stupid. Which I'm sure, I mean, that woman only did because she's a woman and she didn't expect to get hit back or anything like that, which is understandable because, like, that's what society allows and fosters. So that's not like her being ignorant, it was just her being misinformed as to the potential brutality of random fucking strangers and thieves on the street. Anywho, let's get into a couple questions for this week, because I've fucking rambled for way too long. Let's see, let's start with a Patreon one. All right, is this the one? This one's so similar. No, that one's not. Okay, this one's good. Hey, Taylor and or Melissa, just me today. I'm Matt, and I'm 19 and from the UK. I'm studying forensics at university, so can relate to a lot of your college stories you share in the podcast. Don't worry, my question isn't about teenage romance. Whew, I was so stressed out about that. I was like, I do not want to divulge things about teenage romance. Just a quick question to ask about which TV series you are currently watching, as well as if you have seen either The Nick or Ripper Street, both excellent shows you should have a gander at if you are lacking in material. Keep up the good work. Much love, you slut. Current TV series I'm working on, it was just in the past 2 days that I started watching The Nick again. I watched episode 1 and 2 probably 8 months ago now. 8 months, maybe even a little longer. And I got into it a little, and it was just so bloody and gross that I guess I was watching it once and I was eating, maybe, and I kind of got turned off by it. Or maybe it was Melissa, we were watching it together, and she got turned off by it. I don't remember, it was a while ago. And then just 2 days ago, I popped back in episode 2 and rewatched it, and I'm like, I'm going to give this series another shot. I think I'm on episode 6 right now, and so far, I don't know. Like, it has so much potential to be great that... it's almost like I'm wishing and believing that it's better than it is because I want it to continue to get better. But I don't know. I'm not 100% sold on it so far. I really like Clive Owen. I don't remember the name of the black doctor, but I like him. Who is the fucking... the lady with the nose, the no nose, that's pretty creepy how she has to walk around with, like, her arm stapled to her face because it's, like, 1902 and they don't have any technology at all. Like, this is even before the time of that guy from Boardwalk Empire getting that those glasses with the half face on it. That was, like, that was the future at this point in reality, is people were looking forward to the day when they could get a creepy porcelain marionette doll face and have that attached via glasses, as opposed to, you know, having a flap of skin on their arm cut off and then attached to their nose where it used to be to kind of form some weird, like a stingray mouth looking thing, you know what I mean? Where it's just, it's not even a nose, it's just like skin where your nose should be. That description isn't going to make any fucking sense to you if you haven't seen that show. But it's a pretty good show so far. I give it like a 7 out of 10. I'm going to keep watching it. Ripper Street, the other one you mentioned, I have no fucking idea. I haven't heard of it. Maybe I'll have to Google it, see what it's about. Other shows other than that, It's Always Sunny has been a huge disappointment this season so far. I haven't watched the most recent episode, so I can't speak for certain. Kyle and Woody, I believe, seem to agree with me. What else? What else have I been watching? I really haven't been watching that much shit, honestly. I haven't even been playing Call of Duty very much. Last 3 weeks or so, the only video game I've been playing a lot of is NHL 2015. I don't want to get 2016 because it's the same fucking game, and I don't really care that much. And on my GM mode, I'm already in season, like, 2020 or something like that. With the Blues having won the past 5 Stanley Cups. Champions. I'm making all the trades. All the trades. I'm great. I love GM mode, where you're just the general manager of your team, and you can fuck around and trade whoever you want, and I always set the trade difficulty from other teams to be super easy, and I set the cap, my salary cap to be infinite, so if I see some rookie that I really like, I'll just be like, alright, I'll give you, you know, $8 million a year for the next 3 years. Just stick around. I'll see if you're good. And I can do that. And it doesn't matter because there's no salary cap. I don't actually want to be a GM. I'm not looking for a challenge. I'm looking to make an ultimate team of powerhouse players. And it's fun. I enjoy it. But you guys don't care because very few people play that game. And the only time I play it with other people is when I have friends over or I play it online rarely and just get butt-fucked by some 14-year-old who's way better than me. Anywho, next one. Went off into the weeds there. Did I do this one? Yes, I did. Yes, I did do that one. That it started off very differently. Anyway, thanks for answering my question on episode 16. I called my dad as soon as I saw the episode and said thank you, and my parents know what I am listening to. They think it's very educational. Oh, this is the 13-year-old from last week. They think it's very educational. What the fuck did you tell them that I'm talking about to make it educational? No, it's truly terrible. It's talking about all of the afflictions and diseases that people suffer from all the world. You know, and it just talks about truly terrible things that are necessary to turn to avoid turning a blind eye on. You know, you can't just stop thinking about things like clitoral removal in Western Africa or young girls having their feet tied up with, you know, fruit by the foot in fucking China. You know, you can't do that. You gotta remember these truly terrible things and keep an eye on it. You know, donate when you're able. Is that what you're telling them? You just pulling their leg? Interesting. How old are your parents if you're 13, by the way? I'm trying to think. Would they be like 30, late 30s? Probably late 30s. Anyway, I am 13, as I said, and me and my stepdad don't get along. All we do is either talk about each other to my mom or we argue about the only time we talk. I don't respect him for one bit for a good reason, I feel. I don't respect him one bit for a good reason, I feel. My dad told me the story of their divorce, and he said a completely different thing than my mom. Hers kept changing. Anyways, he knew that she was getting married, and he still decided to leave his kid in Arkansas and come to California. My mom got me almost everything my dad owned. My mom got almost everything my dad owned. My stepdad gets jobs, but temporary ones. He disrespects everybody he knows. He harasses me and my two sisters. He's a plain fuck-up. Sorry for the swear word, but the only way... Oh my god! A swear word? What the fuck is wrong with you? Bringing in that vile language. You know what's truly terrible and a problem is that sort of language, sir. I mean, Jesus Christ. Oh, God damn, dude. Watch the fucking language. Sorry for the swear word, but I can't get over that. You apologize. That's so funny. Am I in the wrong for being a prick to this guy all the time? Sorry for the long block of text. Oh, I put spaces this time. Yes, you did. Last time it was a big block of text. This time you put a lot of spaces in there. A lot of spaces. Well done. I don't think you're a prick for being mean to him. Like, your parents are divorced. You're 13 years old. You're going through a very formative time. Obviously, you're gonna be angsty and pissed off and shit. And your parents should expect that, because I'm sure they remember being 13 and remember it was quite a bit of turmoil and confusion about who you're becoming and who you are and who you want to be. If anything, I encourage you to be more of a prick to him. Start setting up like Home Alone style pranks for him to demonstrate your angst. You're 13 years old. This is the last year you can do this. This is the last year that you're young enough that if he steps into his shoe and there's dog shit or cat shit in his shoe and he discovers that and you do it, that it's not super, super weird. You know, if you do that at the age of like 17, they're gonna be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, is he developing correctly? Like, are we gonna have to send him somewhere to get him tested to make sure that he's not one of the retardeds? But no, you're young enough now, 13. If you throw some poop in his shoe, it'll be written off as you were just mad and you had to get some sort of venting out. You know, eventually you'll look back on it and laugh. Whereas if I did that, like, to my dad right now, if I was pissed that he didn't let me do, or I guess let me do something, he can't control what I do anymore, obviously. But if he did something that pissed me off and I pooped in his shoe, well, me pooping in his shoe is way different than a cat poop. If I took some cat shit and put it in there, he would be like, you're in your mid-20s, the fuck is wrong with you? And I'd be like, haha, you've been pranked. Haha, it was a social experiment. it wasn't real. You know, I socially experimented on you at your expense, and somehow that justifies me being mean. It's on film. Yeah, go even further. Be a real prick to him. Tell me about it, too. I want to laugh. And also, I just write back and tell me, what the fuck did you tell your parents to make them think that this is an educational program? It's not. Not even close. Most objectively, the majority of the things I say on this are probably incorrect. They're probably not right. anyway. Hey, Taylor, my name is Mark. Fuck those pussies who want anonymity. I come with hopes for some advice. So my friend, we'll call him Kevin because that's his name, has been dating this girl for nearly a year. It's really awkward when our friend group hangs out because she's one of our closest friends from first grade, sister, and she's a total cunt. She complains about everything, and if she doesn't get her way, she'll throw a fit. After experiencing this, we've adapted and respectfully tell her to fuck off whenever she starts to get too annoying. But she's not 100% bad, though. She started dating Kevin when he was kind of an awkward fuck. He never really had any kind of serious relationship, rightfully so, us being in high school, yeah. Oh, I had, like, one of those... Do you ever have a hiccup that just won't cut, it won't finish? The hiccup is just in your throat, and it won't get out? I just had that, and I was struggling to read, like, the last three lines because of this fucking, anyway. I was about to say something that I shouldn't have said. But she's not 100% bad, though. She started dating Kevin when he was kind of an awkward fuck. He never really had any kind of serious relationship, rightfully so, us being in high school before her, and I'm sure that they've had some good experiences in their time. For example, he went off to the army over the summer, and she threw a going away and coming home party with her family, which was surprisingly nice because they're a weird bunch of fuckers, too. But it was still sweet of her to do. She also doesn't have many friends, most likely as a result of her being a moronic, cunt-like buffoon. She's stupid if you didn't follow that. I did follow that. Do you think I'm stupid that you had to spell that out? I really don't like hanging out with her, and everyone in our friend group agrees. We've tried telling him what we think of her, but he just seems to brush it off. Anyway, how can I/we tell him to dump this stupid bitch so we can hang out with him without it being awkward? Should we convince him to dump her even though they've had a good relationship despite her flaws? Is it mean to do this? Is it mean to do to this girl because she'll have almost no friends afterwards? And finally, call me a slut. You're a slut. Thanks for reading, and please, for love of God, get video running on Truly Terrible. I can help if needed. Had 3 years of video production, two of which were collegiate level, and holy fuck, was that shit expensive. Wouldn't that be great, though? If, what's going on here? Phone just went off a bunch for, like, three different notifications for one tweet. I'm trying to think. This is one of those where it's too vague, man. Like, I can't know. What are the real cunty things that she's doing? You've been saying she's a cunt, and that maybe she doesn't handle it when things don't go her way very well, but, like, what's she doing? Is she forcing, is she throwing huge fits when he's like, hey, I'm gonna go hang out with the guys, and she's like, you do not defy me, you stay here and rub my feet, and then he's like, yes ma'am, I'm pussy whipped and I do whatever you say because you're the only way I'm getting laid right now. Yuck, yuck. Is he like that? Maybe? Because if that was the way he was, I understand that being annoying. It is obnoxious being around people who put their own life on hold so much just for their significant other. I don't know. I don't think you should push them to get out of the relationship. If it seems like they're doing okay, you don't want to be the thing that sabotages them. Like, you don't know the inner workings of the relationship. Is it, like, you're still clearly friends with the guy. It seems to me like you are the group of friends, like let's say there's seven of you or something, and then he is one of the group of friends, one of the seven, who has a girlfriend, and the other six of you are like, it's really not as fun without fucking Kevin over here, because he's over there rubbing Samantha's feet and, you know, wishing, hoping on a prayer that he's going to get blown tonight. It's not as much fun without him. We should try and break him up. Like, I'm not sure where you're coming at it from. If anything, it seems like you have the group of friends and you should just be content to be a part of it. Maybe try not to sabotage the relationship if you think that it's making them happy, you know? If you think he's secretly miserable, then have a talk with him about it. But otherwise, don't go throwing, you know, fucking sticks in their bike spokes for no reason. That's not even a fucking saying, sticks in their bike spokes. Maybe it would be if I, you know, turn of the century England, you know? Oh, don't be throwing sticks in the trolley. You'll be falling down. Tip top. I don't know why that's so funny to me. Video running on Truly Terrible. I don't know. Maybe I'll get in contact with you. Hit me up on Skype or something, explaining who you are. And I shouldn't have said that just now, because now multiple people will do that, claiming to be you. Wow, that was fucking stupid. I guess just contact me through direct message again on Twitter or something like that, and we'll get in contact. Wouldn't that be great, though, is if you spent 3 years of video production, two at a collegiate level, and the culmination of that was getting my dumb face on a fucking YouTube video. Oh, you'd be living the dream after that, wouldn't you? Oh, all those hours studying, everything, oh, it's all coming together. Anyway, hey, Taylor, I've recently tried to buy e-juice from Vapolab. Oh, this is a question about that. I can move on. They are not sponsoring this episode. Can I not fuck freshmen? I guess that's the title of this message, because that's all in caps. Okay, now that I have your attention, I need some advice. There's a girl I met who looks like a junior/sophomore. She's definitely there biologically. That's not uncommon. A lot of the time there's, you know, 15-year-olds who look like they are 19. It's just the way it goes. And then other times there's like 19-year-olds who look like they're 14. I was going to ask her out, but it turns out she's a freshie. I'm a junior, and I know that fucking the freshman is a no-go. I know this is a pushing statutory territory, but can an exception be made? Thanks a lot. You can totally use this for Truly Terrible if you want just no username. Well, I didn't use your username. I don't really ever use you guys' usernames. You're a junior, which means you're like, what, 16? 17? And she's a freshman, which means she's 14, 15. So it's like, it's a two-year difference, obviously. Thanks for spelling that out for us, Taylor. We didn't know the names of high school age groups. I don't know. If you are 16 and she's 15, that's really not weird. Hell, if you're 17 and she's 15, that's really not that weird. If you're 17 and she's 14, I'm starting to lean away from you on that. Not necessarily because it means that, you know, you're incompatible or that's wrong explicitly, just that, you know, in society's eyes, that is weird, and it's not worth the grief that you would be bringing upon yourself to engage in that. If it's a two-year difference, I say, you know, ask her out, just see if you like her, maybe. Just because you ask her out doesn't mean that the next logical step is you have to take her home and you guys have to fuck. Like, that's not true. You could just play it by ear. See if you guys get along well and just, I don't know. There's no reason to get caught up in the weeds of what's going to happen when we fuck, when you don't even know the girl well enough to know if she'd be interested in banging you or if you're actually that compatible at all. So just take it one step at a time, man. Please keep anonymous. Okay, Adam. Adam's not his name. That was the joke. Just like to start off by saying, love the podcast and your work on PKA is the highlight of my week. I'm sorry you've gone through so many shitty weeks. I'm a 17-year-old writing from Australia, and I have a bit of a dilemma. I have known this girl for about 12 months, although we have only really started to get to know each other over the last 2 months. The other week, I asked her... So you met, like, a year ago, but you're only getting to know each other now. So you're basically... You were acquaintances, and now you're finally getting under the surface. The other week, I asked her out to lunch, and it was a hoot. she was really fun, and we had a great... And had a great personality and a sense of humor. She is about an 8.9, which is always a plus. Wow, you're very particular with all those decimal points. I usually just go for the rounded numbers. We plan to catch up again later down the track. I would like to see where things could go. Only problem is I'm headed into the most important year of my studies and education, and my mother saying not to get into any relationships in fear of it being a distraction from my schooling. So what do I do? Do I keep chasing this girl and seeing where it leads, or is my mom right? Should I just keep my head down and concentrate on school? I mean, I don't think it has to be mutually exclusive. You don't have to put 100% of your effort into school or 100% of your attention into this chick. Like, why not continue to do what you're doing? You don't have to turn it into a relationship. Maybe just grab lunch every so often. That's risky, though. You're not paying for lunch, I hope, right? Hopefully you didn't pay for that lunch, I would hope. Otherwise, you're setting precedence. Continue to just hang out with her. It doesn't have to be a lunch date or a dinner date or anything like that. Just continue, hey, you want to see a movie? Hey, you want to come over and play this fucking board game? Hey, you want to come watch this with me, do this with me? I'm going to set up a fucking picnic in the park. You want to come? That actually is pretty much a date. If you get to that, then you're basically dating. I say, fuck your mom. She doesn't know shit. She's a dumb bitch. she could be. I don't know. I'm not going to talk out of turn here. She very well may be. I say work hard on your school. That is the priority. But at the same time, if you're trying to slip one past the goalie, then keep talking to her too, right? You know? Yeah, what's the motivation to keep you in school? You're going to be so horny and stressed out. You're not going to be able to study. You're going to be sitting there thinking about math and calculus and asymptotes and derivatives and whatnot. But the whole time you're going to be sitting there with a rod in your pants because you just can't get off. If anything, I say that getting off with this girl and maybe finding a future with the two of you, maybe that's the way that you do well in school. She's the one who makes you want to be a better man. what a stupid answer, Taylor. You fucking idiot. Let's see. Hey, Taylor, my friend, let's call him Tyler, was dumped earlier this month by his girlfriend. This is the second time he was dumped by her. The first time he got dumped, he sent a ridiculously sappy message to her, and she was gullible enough to come back to him. His relationship was pretty shitty after the first weeks they were together, and Tyler's friends, including myself, saw this. He'd complain about hanging out with other guys and being a bitch overall. That is a real thing. Like, you do not want your significant other hanging out one-on-one with someone of the opposite sex. Like, that, it's just, you could have all the trust for them in the world, but you just don't want it. You don't want your girlfriend going and hanging out with some dude at a concert or something like that. It's weird. You don't want that. Even if you trust your girlfriend 100%, you know that dude is going to do whatever he can to get in her pants, because that's how men are. That's what our modus operandi is. His relationship was pretty shitty after the first weeks they were together, and Tyler's friends, including myself, saw this. He'd complain about her hanging out with other guys and being a bitch overall, but I'm fairly certain he was in it for tits and whatnot. Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. You think he's in it for her jokes and funny conversation? You think he's really titillated by her contributions to the conversation? No fucking way. Of course he's just in it for tits. Since he celebrated through text with me once, he had his first hand experience with tits. Hey, I just grabbed some fucking boobs. LOL, nice, man. There was no trust in the relationship, but he still wanted to be with her. We all pretty much told him that she was an awful person. Oh. But he wanted to make it work. And now he got dumped again. Oh, wah, 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 wah. He was doing fine and ignoring her for a while, but now he stalks her Instagram every so often. Looks at how to get your girl back videos. Is that a real thing? People go on YouTube and look up how to get your girl back videos? The first step you do is stop watching these fucking videos and try and get a hobby or do something that doesn't make your life revolve around the thought of getting this girl back. Like, if their relationship wasn't that happy in the first place, clearly the culprit here is the fact that this was his first experience with sexual contact with a chick and with tits and with probably getting head or whatever. However far they went, it was his first contact with it. And he's got this mentality of, I had a good thing and I can't believe it's gone. And it's never going to come back around again. And he's so young that you're thinking, like, not you, but he's thinking, like, man, this was a once in a you know, lifetime opportunity getting this. A chick who actually wants to bang and do all this fun stuff, and he's not thinking with the big picture. It's not worth it to put up with all that nonsense and horseshit just for getting some tit grabbing. Like, what the fuck? Why would you care that much? And I know you're at that age, or he is, rather, where that's a huge thing, but you don't want to torment yourself for no reason. It's not worth it in the long run. I promise you that. Yeah, that's definitely what's going on. First of all, anytime you see him watching a How to Get Your Girl Back video, don't come at it like these aren't going to help you. I don't think you should do it. Mercilessly and just mock him. Mock him for it. Make him feel lesser and like a gullible idiot for watching those videos. It's like fat shaming, you know? Sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes saying, oh, you ate another cupcake? Oh, come over here and let me give you a pat on the head. You know, your body's fine the way it is. Oh, yes, it is. It's good the way it is, isn't it? You're going to die of a heart attack, cardiac arrest at the age of 42. 42, aren't you? Oh, good boy. Like, you don't need that. That's not the kind of... Sometimes you need to say, hey, you're a big fat fuck. I'm worried about you because of your health because I like you. I genuinely like you, you big fatty, and I don't want to lose you early. That's selfish, but I don't want to lose you, so I don't want you to eat poorly. You don't want to lose him as a friend, throwing all of his time away into How to Get Your Girl Back videos and just fantasizing and masturbating about this girl who really has probably already banged 3 guys since the last time she thought about him. Mock him. Make fun of him. Get him out of that. That is hilarious, though, that's a genre of video, How to Get Your Girl Back. Win the lottery. Have a lot of money. Why, are those the advice? Is that the advice? First thing you're going to want to do is offer to not have her work the rest of her life and bankroll everything, you know? Ta-da! Buy her a nice car. A week or two ago, he told me his grand scheme of purposefully ignoring her and not texting her, which would lead to him sending her another sappy text after a month. And of course, he thinks she'll come back after this. No! No! No, it's not going to work. Purposefully ignoring her. Do you think she gives a fuck about you ignoring her? She's a high school girl. She has more attention from males than she knows what to do with. Do you understand the playing field at that age? It's not balanced. Nobody gives a fuck about you. You're not twisting anybody's arm. Oh my God. Oh, she's just sitting in her room weeping. Why don't I have attention from that guy that I broke up with? Why am I only getting attention from every other guy? Ooh, like, she doesn't fucking care, dude. She doesn't fucking care. You know what? You're going to come off as a desperate, desperate loser sending her another sappy text. You know what that's going to do? Her underwear is going to dry immediately. It's going to be an immediate below-the-belt Sahara Desert situation as soon as she sees that pathetic, whiny, take-me-back nonsense. Oh, that's gross. Tell him to have some fucking self-respect. In his head, he thinks it's going to work because he's seen it in enough movies and fantasy shit of romantic comedies and romantic movies that he thinks that's what women actually want. They don't want that. No, they want a man that's going to be strong. They don't want some petulant, sappy little child that they feel like they have to lead around and that's so needy that they can't leave him alone for a couple seconds. Like, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. Anyway, tell him to get his shit together. And if he does send the text, send me a follow up and tell me what goes on, because I want to hear the colossal failure that will undoubtedly ensue when he sends this pathetic text. You know, your eyes are as green as a Kansas field, you know, and I've got such a big boner for you. Tyler's going to be sending this text in a week or so. Everyone who knows about the situation is against him trying to take her back. Should I just stay a bystander and let Tyler get metaphorically fucked in the ass for the third time, or attempt to tell him that he's getting himself into a city situation? Been watching your videos for a while. Thanks for reading this. Call me a slut. Yeah. Give him my advice first, because I don't want this kid to have a shitty time if I can avoid it. But when he does ignore what I had to say, because he thinks he knows best, tell me how hard it fails and describe all the funny parts. Anywho, that's the end of this episode of the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you did. If you're not a patron, I'd love it if you'd join. Also, remember to send your topics, questions, things like that. Just direct message through, or I guess direct message is Twitter. Do it through YouTube. Send me a message on there. I'd really appreciate it if a few of you sent some over for next week for me and Melissa to address. Anywho, like I said 30 seconds ago, this is over, and I will talk to you next week.